Amen. God has watched over us, blessed us to have health and strength, to have enjoyed a good meal, and maybe stayed there too long, but blessed us to come back tonight and be wide awake. We thank God for all of His multiple blessings. He's a good God. Matthew chapter 14. Beginning with verse 13. Now, I know when I go into this, you say, didn't you preach that before? Sure, I preached some of it before. But I'm coming from a different perspective tonight. Just to let you know that I'm aware of that. Matthew chapter 14. Verses 13 through 34. Heard of it, that is the death of John, the baptizer. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them. And he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place. Time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or buy themselves some food. There is no store out here. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give them something to eat. And they say unto him, We have here but five loaves and two fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the bag, the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 12,000 men, besides the women and the children. Wow, what an event. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. These are grown men. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, on being a drop in the bucket. Jesus had just heard about, when these events occurred, the death, cruel death of John the Baptizer. This is an illustration
of the power
of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The feeding of 5,000 men, not including the women and children. When Jesus wanted to feed the 5,000, the only food that they could find was a little boy. You remember me sharing this with you. A little boy with his lunch. He had 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. Jesus said to his disciples, feed them. Feed them. I would imagine they looked at Jesus rather strangely, in amazement and disbelief. We sometimes feel very, very helpless when we see and hear about the downward spiral in our world. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. What is that? What is that? When you're talking about feeding this multitude, what is these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes going to accomplish? It doesn't seem like much to us. In and of itself, it's not. But that young boy has gone down in history. A result coming from his slender, sparse lunch that is worth remembering. We learn something about the everlastingly true truth, the everlasting truth from this slender little boy's lunch. It illustrates something that is everlastingly true. The importance of individuals in the face of challenging time, in the face of vast problems which they may encounter. For one thing, it is clearly true that in the long run, everything, good or bad, in the world depends on the quality of the individuals that's enduring. 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what is that among so many? Nevertheless, that boy, that young boy, has gone down in history, and we are still reading about him in God's holy book, the Bible. He was willing to give all that he had. No, you missed it. That little boy was willing to give all he had. And being a little boy carrying a lunch, he had enough for him. Surely, he had to know from his perspective, I'm not sure I'm going to get to eat some of my food. But he was willing to give it. Just the same. Coming from this small boy's lunch, the results that came from his small lunch is a truth for us to remember, to illustrate something that is everlastingly true about the importance of individuals in the face of vast challenges or vast difficulties. We certainly need to learn God would not appeal to us with our 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes if we did not matter. Sometimes we can read the Bible and study the Bible or come and hear a sermon, and we leave here thinking, now, can I really do that? Am I really capable of going through that? God would not appeal to us with our 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, if we did not matter. If he could not help us, he would not appeal to us. We matter to God. Every child of God matters to him because we become his adopted sons and daughters. We matter to God with our 5 barley loaves and our 2 fishes, and that's clear in John chapter 3 and verse 16. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinners, Jesus, sent by his Father, died for us. While he did that while we were yet sinners. Think of what God will do for those of us here and hereafter who become his adopted sons and daughters. Each of us matter with God. One by one, we matter. One by one, we are important to God, who so loved the world that he gave his own Son while we were yet sinners. Each person, individual, matters. Everyone matters. What a difference it would make in America if in the Supreme Court just one person had passed a vote and said no regarding same-sex marriage. What kind of world would this be if only they had said no, but they did not say no? One person more to vote no. But it did not happen. But what a change has been made. May I encourage each of us, let us rise above. Let us rise above. And I think we have a world of uselessness. Let us rise above and stay above. And I think we've already risen above. A church of worthlessness. Thank God for the Church of Christ at 3201 Sunday Lane. One by one, we all matter with God. We all count with God. We're all important to God and his family. Even though we may only have two fish and five barley loaves, we don't need to have a doctoral degree to be important with God. He's a loving heavenly Father. You remember Jesus told his apostles? He said, go teach all nations whatsoever I have commanded. No matter who they are, no matter what their place in society is, go teach all nations my message. God is important. We are important to God. God is concerned with each and every human being. He's concerned with every member of this congregation, no matter where you went to school, how long you went to school, no matter who your parents are, you're important to God. And being important to God, we need to make sure that each of us realize that we are important to God, and as a result thereof, we realize that if my brothers and my sisters, all of my brothers and all of my sisters, they are important to me since they are important to God. That makes for a loving church. That makes for a church that doesn't mind taking on strenuous challenges because of who we are and more because of whose we are. And the fact that we have our brothers and sisters working together, we can count on one another. Therefore, no matter who they are, who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what your nation may be, no matter what society you may come from, what country you may come from, you're important to God. You're important to us. Jesus told his apostles, you remember? Go into all the world and do what? And preach my gospel. I want everybody, no matter who they are, no matter what their nationality is, I want everybody to hear my message of love and the fact that I want them to to become my sons, my brothers and sisters. If one by one, rising above our sense of individual helplessness, and continue diligently loving the Lord, loving His commandments, and doing what we know pleases our Heavenly Father, what a world this can be. Even to the extent, from our perspective, it would seem like God is still working miracles in this world. One by one, let us not let God down. God used the stuttering Moses to lead His people out of slavery. One by one, let us continue to believe in a loving Heavenly Father and standing upon His holy and divine word that He has given to the world and us particularly to His obedient children. One by one, becoming God's representatives. One by one, overriding all the opposition that man's ignorance and sin can war against us and against God. One by one, we may not amount to much in the eyes of some, but as sons and daughters of God, pardon the colloquialism, that ain't true. We are important to God. Let us continue. Let us remain steadfast. Let us continue and let us remain unmovable, always working in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us continue to stand on the Word of God. That amounts, in the eyes of God and for us, His great pleasure. Do you know what God offers? Do you know what God offers? Oh, yes. Secondly, since we don't have a better offer, why not accept His offer? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The things that can be accomplished by the grace of God and the love that He has for us is beyond human imagination. We can do His will. Just remain faithful, loyal, and committed. Peter got out of that boat and he walked on water. He did not begin to sink until he thought more about the water than he did about the Savior who told him to come. Thank God for His word. Thank God for His love. Where are you tonight? Get on board and accept the Lord's offer. He's offering the privilege and the glorious opportunity for us, for you, to become as we are, His adopted children. They come by hearing His word, believing, having faith in Him, being godly sorrowful for the sins that you've committed, being willing to acknowledge openly and publicly that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and to be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have committed. God is willing to do that if you will come with a believing heart. And if you're already in the family, you've walked contrary to His will, He's waiting for you to renounce your stubborn will and seek His forgiveness by the prayers
of your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Whatever your state is, you come as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Who at the door is standing?